Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you, one and all. Friends, we meet in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, good to see you, everybody. Welcome to Elmdon Church. Welcome to those people who are watching at home as well. My name's Toby. I'm the vicar. I'm going to lead this service today. And we are continuing our series, working our way through the book of Revelation. We are looking today at the beginning of Revelation chapter 19, more on that in a few minutes' time. And it's also a service of Holy Communion. And if you're here for the first time, do not worry, full instructions will be given. Apologise particularly to the people downstairs for the darkness. We seem to have lost a light since the wedding that was here yesterday. I'm afraid that's just the way it is. We're not going to be shimmying up the wall to change the light before the service begins. So this is the way it is for now. As you know, we've got no singing at the moment, so we're going to move straight into our news time. We're going to start off with birthdays. I know of a couple. Anybody who I've not spoken to yet who's got a birthday? Okay, so talking about a birthday we missed, sadly, last week, and that was Sophia over there, and it was actually your birthday on Wednesday, Sophia. So Sophia's birthday on Wednesday, many happy returns. And Ralph, where's Ralph? Oh, out in the hall, and it's your birthday today, Ralph, isn't it? Many happy returns to you today. I wish we could sing you happy birthday. Sadly, we can't, although by all means do come and put one of the birthday hats on afterwards if that would make you feel better. Many happy returns to the two of you. In terms of other news to share, you've got your prayer sheet in front of you. There's various readings and prayers for every day, so please do use those, and also various items of news on the back there. I draw your attention to that. Also with that, on the table next to you, you will find a sheet or some sheets of tin foil. We're going to be using these a little later in the prayers. You don't need to do anything with them yet, but I will just say for people who are watching at home, if you want to join in with the prayers of intercession in a bit, you've got a few minutes now, preferably before the sermon starts and before we come to confession, where you can nip out and cut yourself a little piece of tin foil like that. We'll be using those a little later on. Is there any other news to share besides what's on the back of the prayer sheet? Okay, just one other thing to say, although we've had a couple of people who we were expecting this morning, but in fact they've not been able to come for various reasons. Had they come, we would be a completely full house today, and that does include the less satisfactory seats out in the Wilberforce Hall. So I just make a plea, we have this same service on Wednesday, also at 10:30. And if you find that you are free on Wednesdays, I'm talking, I suppose, particularly to those of the greatest wisdom and maturity, that is to say those who are retired, but others as well. If you find yourself free on Wednesday morning, I'm just strongly going to invite and encourage you to perhaps consider coming to that service instead, and that will free up some space in this service, because there's been a couple of times when we've really come very close to having to turn people away, and it's also, we live in the fervent expectation that sometimes we will have visitors and new people coming, and it would be really the very worst thing if somebody new were to turn up now and there just wasn't anywhere for them to sit and we had to send them packing. So if you find that you are free on a Wednesday, please do speak to me or Carol afterwards. It'd be really helpful if you could give some consideration to come in at 10:30 on a Wednesday morning instead of 10:30 on a Sunday. We really want to be able to accommodate everybody who would like to come. And as our numbers creep up little by little, that, of course, is becoming more difficult. Thank you for that. No other news? We come before the Lord in confession. Oh, I will just say, by the way, for children, I think everybody's got an activity for younger children. I hope you were all given that as you came in. And for older children and teenagers, if you want to dig a little deeper into the reading before we come to the sermon, there's a sheet there for you to look at. And everybody else, please do feel free to take that away with you. So we come before the Lord in confession. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us then show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. We keep some moments silence, and then we pray the prayer of confession together. for all the times we have gone our own way. Father, forgive us. You tell us to follow you. For all the times when we have put ourselves before you and our service to others. Father, forgive us. You tell us to love. For all the times we have been selfish with the things that you give us. Father, forgive us. You tell us to share. To follow you, to love others and to share with them. Father, forgive us. You tell us to change. It said in our daily reading yesterday, for those who've been working through 1 Kings, in 1 Kings chapter 8, yesterday it said these words. When a prayer or plea is made by any of your people, each one aware of the afflictions of their own heart, then Father God, hear from heaven your dwelling place. Forgive and act. Deal with each of us according to all we do, since you know our hearts. Indeed, you alone know the hearts of all people, so that we will fear you every day of our lives. So the promise in that reading yesterday, in those words, and indeed in the testimony of the whole of the Bible, is that our God longs and wills to forgive. And when we come before him in confession, acknowledging our failures, our weaknesses, our sins, he will forgive us. We are set free through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We are set free to love and to serve. And this is good news indeed. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to come across that expression, Alleluia, praise the Lord, in our reading now. I don't know who's reading it today, but somebody will read it, and you have the reading in front of you on a little piece of paper also, if you want to follow.
Today's reading is from Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 4. Threefold hallelujahs over Babylon's fall. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen, Alleluia. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rob. Let us pray. Father God, help us to really hear what you're saying to us in this reading this morning in all of its challenge. Father God, help us to know your salvation more dearly, your glory, your power, your justice, your might. And may we, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, say a big amen to you in all things and give you the praise that is due to your name. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. Well, as many of you know, 8 years ago now, we came here to Elmden, and before we as a family came to Elmden, all of those 8 years ago, we were part of a church, a very different sort of place, in Wembley, in West London, in fact, the capital of Gujarati-speaking London. And we were about half a mile down the road from Wembley Stadium. And on match days, you could be sitting in your house with the windows closed, and you'd still know when somebody scored a goal half a mile away because of the roar of the crowd, or at least of half of the crowd. There's nothing like 40,000 people all roaring at once to let you know that something significant has just happened. Our reading today begins with a great roar, but this time in heaven. And it is the great roar of the multitude of the martyred saints, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. And that was then. Imagine how many thousands have been added to that number by now, 2,000 years later. And they are roaring. Roaring their praise and telling us that something significant has happened. Because there's been a change. When we first met these guys back in chapter 6, I think it was, they were crying out for justice. But they're no longer doing that. Now these multitudes in heaven are roaring their praise, their approval, their thanksgiving. They are celebrating that God's justice has come. God's justice has come. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, alleluia, praise the Lord. They say, they shout that in Jesus Christ we see God's salvation, his glory, his power. Praise the Lord, they say, that true justice and judgment will come from his throne. All of this is in verses 1 and 2 of the reading. Alleluia, praise the Lord. And they say, alleluia, praise the Lord, that we see evidence for all of these things in the judgment that John has seen in the vision he's been given. And isn't our God in the business of honouring his promises miraculously? Isn't this, after all, the same God who raised his son Jesus from the dead? What a miraculous delivery on a promise that was. This is a God who works miracles. This is a God who keeps his promises. Alleluia, praise the Lord. Because in his vision, this revelation that has been given to the apostle there on his island of Patmos in his what at that time would have been extreme old age, John has seen in this vision what in fact was yet still to come in reality for him in his time, the fall of Rome, of Caesar's murderous power. That's what he has seen, and for him it is coming. God has condemned, it says in verse 2, God has condemned the great prostitute. He's talking about Babylon, about Rome here. God has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Well, from our vantage point, and here we are all of these centuries on, what, 1900 years and counting since this vision, this revelation was given, from our vantage point, looking back from now, we know that, yes, Rome did fall. We know, if we know our history, that Rome was overwhelmed by the barbarians, that is, the so-called barbarians, although, of course, implicit in this book and in Revelation is the truth that, in many ways, Rome was herself the most barbarous of the lot. Despite all of the wealth and all of the grandeur and all of the prestige, actually Rome was a barbarian, barbaric place. And she fell. And she fell as God promised to John that she would. And we know also of a more profound judgment still to come, a judgment on these emperors, these oppressors, their lackeys, the oppressors of God's people on that day that this book points us always towards, which is the day when King Jesus returns and he's coming. The day when the blood of his tortured and persecuted and broken people will finally be fully avenged. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. But we have also seen, friends, continuously In these chapters we've been looking at, in chapter 17, in chapter 18, and now here in chapter 19 as well, we have seen continuously that Rome, or Babylon, as John calls it, it's not actually just talking about a particular human society in a particular time, in a particular place. It's not just Rome, ancient Rome, that's the problem. It's not just ancient Rome that is a problem for Christians in the ancient world, and certainly not today. Frankly, who cares what Caesar thought? We know nothing about him. He's gone. In fact, in these chapters, we keep coming up again and again against the fact that Rome, Babylon, is all that's wealthy, all that's proud, all that's corrupt, all that is luxurious in every human society and place. We have our own Rome too. And we know, don't we, and for goodness sake, we do live in Solihull, really we should know this, that wealth and power, they encourage proud self-sufficiency, corruption, spiritual arrogance and blindness. We have our own Rome too. And we should never feel too comfortable in it. Because judgment will surely fall on our Romes too, just as surely as it did on Caesar and his. We can see the old order of things now passing all around us so clearly. It's what we live in. It's our world. In its corruption and its wealth and its spiritual blindness and its oppression. But friends, the old order of things will soon pass. That is God's promise. Alleluia, praise the Lord. And the world as we know it, the society that we live in, these things are not ultimately sustainable, and they will not last, and they will not last because in the end they are not right. And the hour of their passing is coming. Again they shouted Alleluia. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever, it says in verse 3. That judgment is coming on this society too, just as it is on every human society, because every human society is fallen and sinful. And that judgment is coming on all those within any society, including this, who set themselves up against God. A terrible reckoning to come. Oops. Oh dear. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Well, as we so often find in Revelation, and with hindsight, it was a big and a bold choice for us to be working our way through it this year. And obviously with hindsight, particularly in the circumstances we find ourselves in, all this talk of the end times, it is pretty strong stuff. This reading, most of the book, really. And as is so often said about other Bible passages too, so much for gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, yes, he's gentle and he's meek and he's mild, but that's not all there is to it. And this book does remind us of that. Because it speaks of justice. Ooh, that's a bit uncomfortable. Speaks of vengeance. Well, that's really uncomfortable. It speaks of eternal punishment, and whoa, we really don't like that. And yet the smoke goes up forever and ever. You know, you can really see, can't you, why some churches would not touch this book with the proverbial barge pole, neither to read it nor to preach it. Just pretend it's not there. Makes us all feel a lot better. But, you know, if this is how you're feeling, this is pretty strong stuff at 11 a.m, well, there's some good news and there's some bad news for you. And the bad news is that these martyred saints in heaven, they are not speaking alone. because in verse 4 they get the endorsement of a higher authority. It says in verse 4 of our reading, the last verse of our reading today, that the 24 elders and the four living creatures, remember them from chapter 4 and from other places since, it says the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, and they cried, Amen, Alleluia. I agree, they said. So all that we've been speaking about in the last few minutes, this is not just the saints in heaven making it up, because actually God's nearest servants and retainers give their agreement as well. Amen, Alleluia, they say. This is just actually how things really are. And it's even harder than that, to be honest, because God himself is about to give his endorsement. We'll come on to that in our reading next time. Quite apart from the fact that they've been praising God, saying Amen, Alleluia to all of these things, which kind of implies that God is down with it, actually he himself will give his agreement too. And, you know, this is perhaps something to make us uncomfortable. And the bad news then is that if this stuff does make you feel uncomfortable, if you'd rather not have the Bible say what it says, well, actually, it's not my fault. Please don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. Take it up with Jesus. Don't take it out on me. But the good news, because what is this book ultimately if it is not good news for the redeemed? The good news for those who suffer is that God really is a God of justice. That those who are oppressed for owning the name of Jesus Christ will get their reward, even as those who do the oppressing will pay the price of their sins and their crimes. The smoke goes up forever and ever. And importantly, because none of us is perfect. None but Jesus himself. We are all oppressors in our own little way, and even though we may sometimes feel looked down on or in some places oppressed for following the faith of Jesus Christ, actually in our own lives we are not guiltless either. We all sin. We are all guilty of injustice towards other people, towards God himself. That's what our readings in 1 Kings have been reminding us too. We're all a part of this. So it's really good news. I mean, this is really good news that the price of our crimes has already been paid on the cross by God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so the fact that Jesus is coming for his people, the church, this can be entirely a thing of rejoicing, of praise and thanksgiving. The old order of things will soon pass. Alleluia. In the new order of things that's to come, we'll see life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The old order of things will soon pass. Alleluia. In the new order of things, we see life. Let us pray. Praise our God, all you servants who fear him. Alleluia, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. We thank you, Father, that we, your church, are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Receive our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. So we come to our prayers of intercession, and for this you will need the foil squares that are just there in front of you, and Graham and Lydia and Elizabeth and perhaps Phoebe are going to be leading us in our prayers today.
In our intercessions this morning, we are going to be using the squares of foil. You should find enough for one each in your pods. Hold the piece of foil and look at the shiny side. Say thank you to God for good things in your life and for things that you like doing. Thank you, God. Now screw the foil into a loose ball, but don't make it too tight or you won't be able to straighten it out. Think about people who find life tough. People who are ill or tired, lonely, sad or afraid. Ask God to help them and to be with them. Please, God, be with those people. Now, smooth the ball out so the foil is back into a square, or as close as possible. Thank God for people who help others when they need it. Parents, teachers, medical staff, friends. Pray that God will bless these people. And pray that we also will be people who help others and show them love. Lord God, please help us to show love to others. Finally, mould the foil into the shape of someone or somewhere or something you'd like to pray for. You might make it into the letter, the first letter of the name, or you might make it into the shape that looks like the person or place or situation that you want to pray for. Then hold the shape and ask God to help and bless that person or place or situation. You might want to take it home with you to remind you to pray. Now we will say together a big Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for preparing those prayers, Graham and family. So we come to the Lord's table. For anybody who's here for the first time, you have in your pod on the table some bread and some wine. You don't need to do anything with it quite yet, but I invite you now to take the pot off from the top. This means that it will be ready in a couple of minutes' time when we come to take the bread and the wine ourselves. And obviously, when we get to that point, please do feel free to remove your mask. Otherwise, who knows what might happen. So we come before the Lord in our prayer of thanksgiving and praise, the Eucharistic prayer. Friends, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, it is right, it is our duty and our joy now and always to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son. For Jesus is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead. You exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. We are your church. Therefore, Father, accept our praises, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, your Son, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So we will do as Jesus commands. I invite you to take the bread. Friends, the body of Christ was broken for you. And if you'd like to take the wine, the blood of Christ was shed for you. Amen. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. We pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his people to pray. We use the modern language words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we come to the end of our service. Please, as always, do remain in your pod until invited to leave. We want everybody to be able to leave in an orderly fashion. And again, please don't loiter around to greet friends in the courtyard or on the pathway. It stops others from getting out. And at the moment, we want to model good behaviour. We really do not want this second wave to be any worse than it has to be. So we finish with a prayer for God's blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Praise the Lord.